and welcome to episode 388 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So, M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. I'm soldiering through it this week. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Sorry, guys. I got thrown off because we didn't have an intro this week, so I didn't have a script to read. good times. How are you both?
Good.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to be chill for and find my inner zen in the next for the next couple of weeks, because we've got a very busy couple of weeks coming up here.
Yeah, I know. Same here. I'm like very busy.
Yeah. So just so our listeners know, please do go over to awardsdaily.com/ADTV and make sure that you participate in the Predict the Emmy Awards contest, because believe it or not, festival season for the 2023 Oscar season and the close of the Emmy season are all happening basically over the same two-week period. They're kicking off multiple film festivals, including Venice, Telluride, and the Toronto International Film Festival, along with the Creative Arts Emmys and the Primetime Emmys, which are the Labor Day weekend for the Creative Arts and Monday, September 12th, for the Primetime Emmy Awards, which is just a lot going on. I don't think we've ever had that overlap before.
Yeah. You know,
feels like insanely busy. Like, I remember, I mean, Telluride always starts before TIFF, but I mean, like, it's like days.
Right.
You know, separated, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's completely insane. And last year, of course, the Emmys were 2 weeks late, so we got caught up in all of phase two madness and all of that, and did not do one of our favorite things, which was the fantasy Oscar pool. Well, this year we're bringing it back. So back by popular demand, we are going to participate. We're going to draw our actors, actresses, and pictures that we are going to follow through the Oscar season and follow the pointing system as tabulated by Joey. I assume that you're going to do it again this year.
And I have a spreadsheet.
Yes, you do have a spreadsheet. And we're going to see, of course, you can follow along at the website. We'll have some sort of graphics up there to indicate our progress. And we're going to see if Megan can finally pull one out this year. Megan, I'm rooting for you. I really am. In fact, I might just pick all Marvel movies.
No, I don't want to be. I want it to be, I want to win and actually win. I don't want it to be, we feel bad for you. I don't want an honorary Oscar. No, I'm kidding. Those are actually nice awards. But I want to actually, but I probably won't win. I'm not thinking that I will. So I'm just going to have fun. That's what I usually do.
And this is fun. And what's even more fun is making these initial draft picks, so to speak. I'm starting to get into a little sports analogy. Sorry, Joey. I don't mean to throw you off there. I love this podcast because this is the time when Joey says, oh, God damn it, at least 16 times
after Megan
and
true.
I steal someone from him that he really wanted. He goes, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's very emotionally invested.
Can I say something also before we start? I wanted to point out, I know that I think there is another Twitter account where some people do this sort of thing. I think it happened last year with some like super awesome prominent people from film Twitter that write for some other sites. I don't know who anyone is. I can't remember. But I know we're going to post this, and I was nervous that people were going to be like, oh, you guys are copying us.
I want residuals from that other podcast.
We have the receipts. We did this several years ago.
But I'm freaking waiting for it. I'm not saying like we did it first, but it's also just like we did it first. Now, they have something completely different. They have like a whole separate Twitter for it. They have like all this crazy stuff. I saw it last year. It looked like a lot of fun. So I'm glad we're doing it again, because I always have a good time with those.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not a novel idea. It's not an innovation that we came up with. Clearly, you know, there are variations of this all over the internet. But anyway, multiple people can do it. So the more the merrier, and let's just have fun with this.
Yeah.
So before we jump into this, I want to go over the rules. But before I do that, I just want to remind listeners again, go predict the Emmys at awardsdaily.com. Watch out for our creative arts Emmy predictions coming up this week. Please read those because there's like 15,000 categories and we're predicting every single one of them. And then we'll have our Emmy predictions the following week. And we'll also have festival coverage. I and Sasha are going to Telluride this upcoming weekend over Labor Day. And Megan and Joey and Shadon will be in Toronto. Sorry, I wanted to say TIFF, but Toronto, I don't know, TIFF. And we'll wait and see what kind of coverage we have from that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right. So with our fantasy Oscar pool, what we do here is we split up our categories into actors, actresses, and pictures. And so the actors can be supporting or lead, the actresses can be supporting or lead, and the pictures can be foreign or international, can be animated, or can be regular narrative features, picking from those three categories. I don't think we picked from documentaries or anything like that, but this year we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of, I think his years past, we have said, now we're going to pick our five actors. Now we're going to pick our five actresses. And now we're going to pick our three pictures. And this year we're just going to throw it out. And so Megan's going to go first because she came in last time. Sorry, I don't mean to rub that in. I'm just explaining why you're going first. and Megan can say, I'm picking Minions as my picture, or I'm picking,
you better not. Because I want Minions.
Picking Daniel from Nope. I don't know. Picking anybody. You can pick anybody you want to. And the ultimate goal is for us to pick five actors, five actresses, and three pictures, and then we will tabulate those as they win awards throughout the season. We're going to revisit this somewhere in November after the festival season closes, but before the critics season begins, to make sure that we're confident in our selections. Maybe something that we thought was going to be high profile at the film festival circuit actually bombed. So we want to drop that so we don't go into the critics season losing points. And we'll carry it straight through the Guild season and, of course, to the Oscars, and we'll tabulate, and whoever wins, wins. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So, Megan, you can go first. I came in second last time we did this, so I will go second. And Joey goes third as he won the last round. So, Megan, make your first selection from actor, actress, or picture.
I think I'm going to select Brendan Fraser for The Whale.
Damn it.
I'm very excited about his whole
thing. I'm keeping track of these, by the way.
Okay.
That's an excellent pick. All right, so I am going to make my first pick, and it is going to be Michelle Yeoh for actress. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
All right, those were literally my first two. so let's see what Joey pulls out now. Okay, so I am going to pick Olivia Colman for Empire of Light.
Okay, I'm keeping track of this too, so I'm, hold on. Okay, I am going to take Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans.
Megan came to play this year.
Yes.
I did.
She has got a stacked category.
Yeah, you do.
all right. I am going into the picture race, and I am going to pick Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I hate you. I am going to jump to Best Actor, and I'm going to pick Austin Butler for Elvis.
Damn it.
I'm going to pick... okay, so wait, Austin Butler's gone. Okay. I'm going to pick a movie, I guess. I'm going to do Top Gun.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, is that Top Gun Maverick?
I'm sorry, Top Gun Maverick.
Excellent.
You're like, no, 1986 this time. You are out.
Let's see where I want to go next. I am going to stay in picture, and I'm going to pick Bardo.
Okay. That's fine. I'm going to stay in picture, and I'm going to pick The Fablemans.
Someone was going to do that one.
Live with me!
I am going to go back to actress. I think this is supporting actress, maybe. And Jessie Buckley for Women Talking.
I feel like you guys are going to have a camera in my house.
I always do. You looked very good this morning when you were in your underwear. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to close out my picture race, pick my third nominee, and it's going to be,
you know what it is.
It's going to be, no, you don't. It's going to be, God, I can't decide between these two. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Oh,
I see you looking at that animated race.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch has got strategy. Okay. Which I saw that last week, and that movie was fucking adorable. Okay. Let's see. Where do I want to go? I think I'm going to pick another woman. Deciding between two. I'm going to go with Emma Thompson. Good luck to you.
Good one, too. Okay, now it's back to me. let me see what I have on my list. Hold on. I'm like looking at different things. So Emma Thompson is gone. I'm going to take Hugh Jackman for The Son.
Damn it.
I need to start picking some actors, but I can't pass up Kate Blanchett for Tar.
Okay. I am going to go out on a little bit of a limb this time, and I'm going to pick Zen McGrath for The Son.
Oh.
The movie's about teenage depression, and he is the titular role.
I don't even know what The Son is about.
I just told you, teenage depression.
Yeah, well, now I know. I was going to say, I didn't know that was.
I actually want to see if I can buy the play online so I can read it.
Then I am going to pick Regina King, Shirley.
Good choice.
All right, I am going with Laura Dern, The Son.
Oh, I didn't know she was in that.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
I'm going to pick Florence Pugh.
No,
Harry Styles. Harry Darling. I didn't think his acting was that bad. It got bad at the end, I thought. But I thought it was okay. Like, I was just...
In what?
That clip.
Oh, I'm not sure because everyone's just like...
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was the worst thing I've ever seen. But it did get worse as it went along.
I think everyone was just like really, you know, they're like, let's rip him apart. He's down. Kick him.
Yeah. That's what exactly it felt like. It's exactly it.
Okay. I'm going to pick.
You sound like
Anna Darkness, Blonde.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, now it's my turn. Okay. I'm going to go with Ben Whishaw for Women Talking.
No!
Yeah, I did.
All right, I need to get an actor. I am going to take Paul Dano, The Fablemans.
Okay. Mm. I'm gonna pick Brendan Gleeson for the Banshees of, I cannot pronounce that word, Inisherin.
Yeah. I don't know. Martin McDonagh's next movie.
Yes.
Okay, it's back to me. I think I'm gonna go with Danielle Deadwyler for Till.
I see that. Like, the trailer was like very affecting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell her last? Oh, there it is.
DEAD. W.
Sorry.
All right. I am going to pick Colin Farrell for the Banshees of Inisherin. Somebody from the UK is probably like, oh my God, the Yanks.
Don't know anything. Okay. I'm going to pick Babylon for picture.
Ooh.
A movie that I don't know if we know it actually exists, but okay.
Yeah, I feel like there's, like, that's interesting. And I'm going to pick Margot Robbie for Babylon.
All right, Megan, you have locked in your 5 more minutes.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Well, I'm telling you.
Babylon. Does it make you think of that Lady Gaga song? Babylon.
I am going to go with Brad Pitt, Babylon.
I literally knew, I was like, as soon as I say Babylon, everyone's going to remember Babylon and they're going to pick Margot Robbie and Brad Pitt.
No, it was on my list, but no,
I figured it was. I'm actually surprised you didn't pick it earlier. Okay. I think I'm gonna pick Jennifer Lawrence for Causeway. He says, question mark.
Yep, I'm going to pick Bill Nighy for Living.
I love Bill Nighy.
I am going with Jean Smart, Babylon.
Ooh.
Hair care. Okay, I think I'm going to put in for The Sun.
For picture?
Yeah.
I am almost done with my actors. Then I'll finish up my movies. I'm going to do, wait, how many? 1, 2, 3. So I have one more actor yet left.
Yeah.
Adam Driver for White Noise.
I will select Daniel Jimenez Cacho for Bardo.
Literally my next pick. Okay. Okay, it's actually getting somewhat difficult now. My God. Someone has Dana, someone has Wishaw. I'm so mad at myself for not picking that. I literally was like, no one really, you know, I was like, he's safe. I can pick him later. I was wrong.
I came to play, bitch.
Yeah, well, first half for everything.
Ooh.
You bitch. I'm going to pick Ki Hu Kwan for everything at once.
That's literally my next pick.
I'm so sorry.
Mm.
I'm picking.
Sounds familiar.
Has this been picked yet as a picture? Elvis.
Which one?
No, Elvis. Not yet.
Okay, I'm taking Elvis.
Oh. Let's see. I need one actor and one actress. Is that correct, Joey?
Yes.
All right. I am going with the literal next person on my list, and it is. This is a terrible pick, and I'm gonna hate myself for it. No, I'm not. I'm not doing it.
You were gonna say Carrie Mulligan, weren't you?
No, Carrie Mulligan for A Promising Young Woman. She can still win. She can still win.
Here's how she can still win.
Oh, geez. I'm trying to decide if I want to do this. Janelle Monáe, Glass Onion.
Oh.
All right. I think that you can trade her in halfway through the year. If she's not. I do think she is. Most people are looking forward to seeing her, even though no one knows what the movie's about.
Okay. I've heard things.
Okay. I'm hopefully going to get into a screening of it at TIFF. I'm a little worried, but I feel like that one's going to be a popular one. Okay. For my last actress slot, I can believe I'm doing this, but I also can't believe I'm doing this because on one level, it's sort of on brand for me, but on the other hand, it's a little untested, and I'm going to pick Angela Bassett for Wakanda Forever.
Oh, that's a great pick because I really want her to get in there.
So then this is our last one, right?
Yeah. So Megan, you have a picture and me and Clarence both have an actor.
Okay. I'm going to take Women Talking. I don't think that's been taken, right?
No.
Okay.
For picture? No.
Yeah. I just love Sarah Pauley, and I'm really excited about that.
Okay. I already want to trade one of my pictures, but I'm sticking with it. Okay, so actor. I have one more actor. Sorry. No. I wrote down all these names, which I'm not going to say. And then I'm like, I did all my homework, and now I'm like, I don't think those answers are right. I'm second guessing myself. I'm also stalling for time.
That's what I would be doing.
How about Diego Calva, Babylon?
All right, so I guess my last one, going to pick a dude, and I hate this, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say Christian Bale for Amsterdam.
Wow.
If he can get in for fucking American Hustle, he can get in for anything.
That's true.
Fucking Vice. Jesus. Actually, he was good in Vice, but fucking Vice.
Yeah, I mean, he was super talented and he got Oscar nominated, won a Golden Globe, but fuck him.
Fuck him, that's fine. I've always complained that I was like, I wish Christian Bale would just like have fun with something. And then I see the trailer for Amsterdam. I'm like, not like that. That's something else.
He was also in that Thor movie. Did that count?
Oh, I forgot that he was in that.
Yeah, he was really.
No, because you could tell he was just like, I'm going to be like a method villain.
You can tell he was like, paycheck.
All right. Well, there are some things that were not selected that I'm not going to talk about, but I am surprised that they weren't selected. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how this festival season goes. And on the 1st of November, we may be banging down the door to switch some things out because I don't know. I don't know about this.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's interesting. I think this is going to be. Like in previous years, there were a lot of very obvious contenders. And I feel like all of us have at least two very obvious contenders who will be nominated. And then the rest is a crapshoot. Like, I do not feel confident about anybody being coming out ahead of this yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Clearly, both of you don't agree with me because you do feel confident in your selections.
Oh, no, I
don't feel confident in them at all. I just feel like I just don't know anything right now. I just, I don't know. I like my selections, but I'm like, women talk. What if women talking is, you know, not, or like, I'm also looking at my selections as like, I picked Top Gun because I feel like it'll get a lot of below the line stuff. And same with Elvis. I don't know, because Elvis was like supposed to be, everybody was going to hate it and then everybody seemed to love it. So I don't know.
And it,
I still haven't seen it.
Comes out on HBO Max this weekend.
Yeah. And probably will be deleted.
It does.
Pretty fast too. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
I noticed that none of us picked Don't Worry Darling though, which is kind of interesting. Like, do we all agree that we think it's probably going to, do you think,
I mean, well, Razzies don't count.
Do you think that the bad publicity will sink it? Or do you think it's, or do you think people are going to say, oh, the bad publicity was really good and everybody was just hard on her because she's a woman? Or do you think that they'll be like, no, this was just a bad movie?
The guns are coming.
I don't think anyone actually was looking forward to that movie to begin with.
And I feel like the fact that, like, she was done with it a while ago filming. And it was, because I think it was first slated for, like, last fall. And then whenever they made the announcement last fall, I was like, oh, so this movie sucks, is what I thought.
Well, you can already see the defenses coming up with the article that she, I think it was Variety, she had a front page article. In some place recently, she had a front page article. And the tone of the article was a little bit, I'm a female filmmaker and they're coming for me. You know,
yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
I think they're setting up a defense for this film to just bomb. My guess, I've not seen the film. I don't know anything other than all the other stuff that you guys know about it. But that's just my gut instinct is that it's not good. And its critics are going to not treat it kindly at the festival because it's opening at a festival, which I think is a strange place for it anyway.
Which one is it opening at?
Venice.
That's what I thought. But it's going to be at TIFF too, right? Later on? Or is it not at TIFF?
It's not at TIFF.
Okay.
Why didn't somebody... Hold on, I'm on the TIFF website right now.
I don't think it is either, but I feel like somebody told me it was going to be at TIFF. But I didn't see it.
I searched for the films. No, I don't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually feel like of any of the festivals, it should play at TIFF because TIFF is such a big festival that even if it's bad... or it doesn't get good notices, it can sort of go on notice. But because, you know, so much stuff premieres there that it's whatever.
But
it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, though. And like maybe it's actually really good. But I mean, it is pretty sad that the lead won't do press for it, or she'll only do Venice and that's it. Like that's tells you a lot, I think.
I agree. Although I do think that has more to do with the interpersonal issues than her faith in the film, or maybe those are intertwined.
Well, I think they're intertwined because the other rumor is that she helped direct it with the cinematographer.
Ooh, that's what they always say. You know, that is a line that people always say about female filmmakers. They don't like Angelina Jolie and those movies she directed. They always say she picked a really great cinematographer who helped direct the movie.
I also heard
it was the same thing about Bradley Cooper with A Star Is Born, and that's why he didn't get the director nomination. But I think it goes for like actors that are trying to be directors.
I always hear it for women though. I never hear it for guys.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that thing about A Star Is Born, but I do feel like there's always a lot of the editor helped them shape the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what was that? What's that movie that she did about World War II? Angelina Jolie. Which one?
Unbroken.
Unbroken. Yeah, that's the one that they said that the cinematographer basically
because it was Roger Deakins.
Right.
Nominated.
I don't know, but it does explain though. Thinking about like, I mean, I could see why I'd never heard it until recently, like on a podcast or something. And they were saying that they heard about that for Bradley Cooper. And then now for Olivia Wilde, because it is interesting that on like Florence Pugh's Instagram, she only thanked like the cinematographer or something about the film.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of messy and like, it's, I don't know. I can't wait for the whole thing to be over.
Yeah, I'm me too. The only thing I can say about my fantasy Oscar pool situation is I may be, by the time we get to November, I hope that Babylon has started screening, because I have three selections from it. And if it hasn't screened by the beginning of November, because it's not on any festival list so far, I do wonder if it'll play AFI or something like that. Or if maybe my secret thought is that it does show up at Telluride this weekend. God, I would die. I would die.
Do you guys think that? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was very quickly, I'll get into the position of having to make a choice, you know, and not knowing enough about the film or its merits. But anyway, sorry, what were you going to say, Megan?
I was going to say, do you think that, I know Joey just picked Amsterdam was like one of his, well, Christian Bale's one of his last ones. But do you think that David O. Russell, like, this is kind of his first film in a long time coming back, and I feel like he was on that hot streak for a while, but do you think that they're going to be welcoming him with open arms? I don't know. I just feel like Amsterdam looks so much like American Hustle, only in a different time period, that people are going to be like, I've already seen this movie.
Maybe. I don't know. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think even if people don't like his movies, I think that with a lot of them, I'm not necessarily a David O. Russell fan, but I feel like so many people are blinded by like the actors that are in it, because it has a great cast: Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, and Anya Taylor-Joy, Michael Jordan, Taylor Swift.
That's a little
Robert De Niro. I mean, Taylor Swift might be eligible for an Oscar for Best Short Film. We don't know.
That's
they
true.
They did say it's eligible, so
that's true.
I can't wait to actually sit down and watch it and maybe write something about it, because I do all the short stuff. And
you
then
get
if
to
I
see
write
Dylan O'Brien, that's always a perk.
Oh, he's in it now.
Yeah.
A little thing.
And Sadie Sink. It's a music video. I mean, come on.
I did notice that when she accepted the VMA for, I guess, Video of the Year. I think that's what she won for. And she announced her new album. She referred to it as a short film, not a music video.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, she had a, she at the, not to, Tribeca Film Festival. She had a conversation with Taylor Swift to talk about her direction of that film. That was her qualifying run. Just because it screened at the, at that film festival.
What if I get to interview Taylor Swift? It'll be Clarence.
She won't do press. She won't do press.
Yeah,
like
I don't think she will either.
Well, not with that attitude. She wants to win that Oscar. She's gonna have to talk to me.
She stands a better. Honestly, my opinion is that she stands a better shot at a nomination with that song from the Where the Crawdads Sing than she does for a short film.
Yeah,
that's a music
probably
video.
True. Yeah.
Basically, outside of Lady Gaga and Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick, there's literally no competition for that.
Diane Warren has a song coming up. So.
Yeah, but she's also winning an honorary Oscar. So. What song does Diane Warren have coming out?
All I saw was Will Mavity tweeted something about on the next Best Picture, they have a group chat. And I think it was Cody Derricks who said something about, like, we got to make sure we save some room in case Diane Warren has a song. And then it was like, no, that's not going to happen. And then, like, I think Will Mavity broke the news that she has a song in a movie. And, like, the screenshot of Will Mavity's Twitter was like, God damn it, Cody. Just, like, willed that into existence. I did actually recently watch Billie Eilish win this past year. I just watched the video because sometimes a random person pops in my head. I was like, I want to watch their Oscar acceptance speech, and I watched it. And poor Diane Warren looks devastated.
She had I interviewed her for that song in the fall of last year when she came to Film Fest 919 here in North Carolina, and she was very emotionally connected to that song because it talks about addiction, and she has addiction in her family, and she's had people come to her and talk about their addiction stories. And it just, you know, it was probably a very fine song. It just came from a movie that nobody saw.
Yeah.
But
that's unfortunate.
Yes, it was. All right. So, again, we will pick up our next round of the Fantasy Oscar Pool in November. Meanwhile, here in the next, well, let's just say before the end of September, we'll post the picks out on awardsdaily.com/ADTV with a little link from the main page. And we'll so you guys can figure out or remember who we picked. And as these things start to pick up awards, maybe something, I don't know, the whale win something at Venice or TIFF mm-hmm. or whatever. And we'll start adding up points there. But we really won't get to the big point round until the Critics Awards. All right, let's jump very quickly to the flashboard to the media we're most anticipating the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
I am looking forward to figuring out my TIFF schedule because I don't have it ready yet.
Oh, I do.
I don't. Fuck off. And so whatever.
I mean, why would you have a schedule before you have a plane ticket?
Well,
Clarence came to play.
I have a car now. I could drive there if I wanted to. I have options. Would it be longer than Megan's drive? Yes.
I think you should go and bum a ride with Megan.
That would take him so long. We did talk about that. Yeah.
The problem is I would have to drive to like Erie. She would have to pick me up in Erie. But the only problem with that is if I do that, Megan is leaving the day before I do.
Yeah, she's
leaving
on Sunday too.
And I'm leaving on Monday. So I would either have to live in Toronto, which is apparently not that bad, or figure out a way home, or I could just take a one-way flight from Toronto to Columbus.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. Again, everybody has their passports, right?
Yep. I actually thought I lost mine today, and I was, like, throwing stuff. I was like, where the fuck is my passport? Because I took my passport to get my monkeypox vaccine because you had to have, a government-issued ID, and I couldn't I couldn't find my wallet at the time, so I grabbed my passport. So anyway, TIFF schedule, and I'm going to see Jinx Monsoon this weekend.
She'll
be in Columbus performing, and so is Brooklyn Heights from Drag Race. So I'm going to see them over Labor Day weekend. That's all.
That's all.
Megan?
So I am looking forward to The Patient on FX with, is it Don Hall, Gleason, and Steve Carell, which looks interesting, even though I'm not, I love Steve Carell, but I don't know if I'm totally sold on him as a dramatic actor, but this looked interesting to me. I'm also finally going to hopefully finish my Michael Jackson book, Be Careful Who You Love, which sent me down a rabbit hole last week where I was watching Ghosts, the music video. I need to get out of the Michael Jackson story. I really do. I also have, I like how I'm getting out of that story and going into, I have screeners for A Friend in the Family, which is based on the Abducted in Plain Sight, and which with Jake Lacey as Birchtold. And so I'm really interested in that because I feel like it actually might even be better as a narrative than it would be as a documentary, because I feel like you need to see how this all worked, like how this all happened. And then finally, on Labor Day, I'm taking my dog to Pooches in the Pool, where at the end of the year in Pittsburgh, I'm sure they do this in other cities too, but they, before they close down the pools, they let all the dogs in. So I'm going to take Mr. Wilson to see if he wants to swim or not. And I'm anticipating that he probably won't, but I'm spending $20 to find out. So I'm excited.
I can bring his best friend Neville. We can see what happens.
And then he would probably go berserk.
Yeah.
By the way, I must say that the picture of Mr. Wilson that you shared with his Halloween costume on was chef's kiss.
Wasn't it? Isn't he? Yeah. And my parents bought that. My mom bought that, actually, because he's going to be probably with my parents for Halloween. Because I'm probably going to be at SCAD. So my mom was like, I want to make sure he has a good outfit.
I want to go back to SCAD so bad. I didn't mean to rhyme that, but I mean, To be in Savannah on Halloween. Oh.
Yeah, even though I think I'm like, I think it ends right before Halloween this year.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it ran into November.
No.
Excellent. Are you done?
Yes.
All right. Well, on the TV side, I have seen the first two episodes of Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. And I was, you know, it's beautifully crafted. So it'll be really interesting to see the Television Academy embrace or not embrace these two prequel series, which, you know, House of the Dragon and Rings of Power, and see how they compete head to head in almost every technical category possible next year. Because I do think that they will. Lord of the Rings is beautiful. I mean, the scope of that is pretty amazing. As House of the Dragons kind of stays within Westeros and doesn't do as much world spanning as Game of Thrones did, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power does do that. My problem is a personal problem in that I'm watching this and I'm thinking, I should know who that person is. I should know that reference. I should know what this means. And I'm lost. I'm really lost in it. And they don't, it's interesting. They don't do a lot of things to kind of orient you, but they also want you to, they introduce characters who are direct archetypes of the original series. So there's a little girl who looks exactly like Elijah Wood. And she is not a hobbit, but she is a half foot, I think, is another creature called a half foot. And she also has a plump best friend that is her sidekick, just like Elijah Wood had Samwise, who's Sean Astin.
Yep.
Yeah, Sean Astin. They definitely want you to feel like this is a new project, but they also want you to remember that this is still Lord of the Rings. So, I enjoyed it. I breezed through the first two episodes. Is it going to be my favorite show of the year? No. But do I think Tolkien fans are going to love it? Absolutely. They 100% will.
Can I ask you a fantasy television question?
Sure.
Do you sort of think that the distance from Lord of the Rings, like the film franchise, is maybe doesn't work against the show, but doesn't maybe a disadvantage as whereas something like House of the Dragon, since Game of Thrones just ended and it's a little bit fresher, do you think that's sort of the case? Like, I sort of wanted to know, like, which one do you think is better personally, but I was just curious if maybe for Lord of the Rings, is it a problem, do you think? Or do you think maybe it's just because we've had Game of Thrones much more recently?
So there's pluses and minuses there for sure, because Game of Thrones left bad tastes in most everybody's mouth, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that it is the highest premiered show in HBO's history, that it had 25 million views over last week, and then the second episode went higher than the first one, tells me that people remember Game of Thrones and that it is what you're saying. It is closer in their minds, even though they were pissed with the last season. What they have seen thus far in House of the Dragon is more akin to the things that they loved in Game of Thrones. Make sense?
Yeah.
With Rings of Power, there hasn't been anything Hobbit or Lord of the Rings related in quite a while. And I do think that the faithful will turn out for sure. Is this going to entice the casual viewer? I mean, it's on Amazon Prime, so they probably will watch it. Are they going to really dive into it the same way? I don't know. And I don't want to compare the two, because I don't want to say which one I think is better, because I've seen six episodes of House of the Dragon and I've only seen two of this. So I haven't gotten past that sort of pilot feel that all new shows have. So I want to wait a little bit more and see some more of Rings of Power before I weigh in on the merits of either.
All right.
I do have a preference, but I think it's mostly, I mean, I'll just say I'm not a Tolkien person. I struggled with Lord of the Rings. Even though everybody around me said it was the most amazing thing that's ever been made, I don't know. It just, for whatever reason, the Game of Thrones felt more accessible to me than Lord of the Rings. And I don't know why, because they're essentially pretty much, they have the same tropes, as it were. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe I just prefer raping and murder.
Oh God.
I don't know.
There's for a soundbite.
I don't know. There's just, you all seen The Hobbit, and you've seen Lord of the Rings. You know that there's lots of singing in Hobbits. And
I have not seen any of them. I've seen the first first half of the first one, and I was bored to tears.
Yeah. It's not as kind of twee as all of that, yes. But there is definitely some of that in there where they don't sing songs while they're washing dishes for a half an hour, but as they do in The Hobbit. But there's some just weirdness.
Okay.
That was a very little, and it's not an official review. I'll have something up on the site sometime this week. Before I go to the other thing that I'm looking forward to this week, which is Telluride, where I hope to see, again, we don't know the lineup because Telluride does that weird thing where they don't announce the films until the day before. But I have it on good faith that Empire of Light will be there. Bardo will be there. Women Talking will be there. I have also heard that The Wonder, starring Florence Pugh, will be there.
Yeah.
Whether or not she is there, I don't know.
Isn't she going to be in Venice?
Nah, maybe. But
I think that's the only press she's doing for. Yeah. I think she's going to be in Venice.
Well, it depends on where they what the schedules are, because they do fly them from Venice to Telluride, because they did last year. And a lot of other things I hope are there. So, yeah, we'll see. I will have full report out for you guys sometime soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And then does that cover it?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.